RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana first, the headlines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla affirms, cost of high-speed train projects should be reviewed. Financial and banking sectors open for foreign investors. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla has asked China's embassy in Indonesia to review the cost of a high-speed train project between Jakarta and Bandung. After reports surfaced that the project is expected to cost much higher than a similar project in Iran. Speaking at his office in Jakarta on Tuesday, Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that the China's ambassador to Indonesia and has promised to get back to me in the issue. He also said that the government will remain steadfast on its stance that it will not provide any guarantee over the ambitious Contrapels project, saying that the government does not need to be involved since the deal was done on business-to-business basis. Currently, it has been reported that the cost of high-speed train project is far higher than a similar project in Iran. The 150-kilometer rail ring between Jakarta and Bandung is expected to cost $5.5 billion, while 400-kilometer high-speed train project in Iran reportedly only required a capital investment of $2.73 billion. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Darmin Nasution led a coordination meeting on the negative investment list (DNI) for the financial and banking sectors in Jakarta on Tuesday. Bank Indonesia's Senior Deputy Governor Mirza Adiaswara said that the central bank has provided space for investment in the banking sector if the situation is stable and inflation is good. Meanwhile, head of the Finance Ministry Fiscal Policy Agency, Suhasil Nasara, said that the financial and banking sector are quite open for foreign investors. According to Suhasil, regulation in the finance, banking and insurance law are open for foreign investors. Authorities found another body of an Indonesian in Malaysia after a boat capsized on Wednesday, bringing the incident's death toll to 23. Indonesian Consul General in Johor Bahru, Taufikur Rizal, told Antara News Agency that the latest victim was found in the Kalisa Beach in Johor, Malaysia on Tuesday morning. Local authorities reported that the boat was carrying around 30 to 35 passengers. Search and rescue effort remain ongoing. Taufikur Rizal also said on Wednesday that the boat passed Malaysian waters illegally. Three victims had been identified, including Agus Susantio of Semarang, Central Java. The Indonesian embassy in Malaysia arranged for the return of his body on Tuesday afternoon. A survey conducted by a Jakarta-based media watch.group has found that the majority of programs aired by local television stations contain content unsuitable for children. The Children Media Development Foundation, YPMA, found that 1,401 television programs surveyed at least 59% should be banned for kids, especially because of their liberal use of crude language and vulgarity. YPMA coordinator Hendriyani said, as quoted by Kompas.com, that that the kids should be protected urging the Indonesian Broadcasting Commission, KPI, to see if they should renew the license for local stations. More recently, President Joko Widodo has called for the issuance of stricter regulation for television programs and improved filtering of TV shows that could potentially have a bad influence on children. The presidential envoy to the Middle East and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, Al-Wisya, said that several Middle Eastern countries have expressed their interest to develop Indonesian beaches. He also pointed out the Middle Eastern countries plan to build bigger exclusive resorts to compete with famous Maldives. Speaking in Bandung, West Java on Tuesday, Pastor from Middle East want to develop accessible beaches such as Pelabuhan Ratu in Sukabumi, West Java. Since it is hard to find sizable land in Pelabuhan Ratu, Alwi propose other locations outside Java such as those in Tanjung Lesung, Belitung, Padang, Selayar, and Lombok. Alwi revealed that most of the investors were members of the Gulf Cooperation Council, GCC, such as United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and Qatar. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Russian Ambassador to Indonesia Michael Glusin appreciated the announcement on President Joko Widodo's attendance on the Russian-ASEAN summit in Sochi next May. Speaking in a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday, the ambassador stated that President Joko Widodo's attendance in the summit is very important watch for the summit discussion and the bilateral relation between Russia and Indonesia.
Also, it is a pleasure for me to say that the other day in Moscow, my colleague, Indonesian ambassador to Moscow, Jauhari Auratmangun, informed the journalists that President Joko Widodo would take part in, would attend the this Russia-ASEAN summit in Sochi in May. So it's a pleasure for me to hear it from my colleague, and I would like to appreciate President's decision to join the summit, to come to Sochi, to visit Sochi, to attend Russia-ASEAN summit. This is very, will be very important for the summit. It will be very important for bilateral relations between Russia and Indonesia.
Furthermore, Ambassador Glusin said that Russia takes Asia-Pacific as an important region to cooperate with. That's why during the next Russian-ASEAN summit, Russia will initiate consultation forum among Eurasian Economic Union, ASEAN member state, and Shanghai Cooperation Organization. It is aimed at consulting possibility of enhancing partnership cooperation among the three sides. Members of a Eurasian Economic Union are Armenia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Russia. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, in collaboration with Indonesian Institute of Accountants and Bank Indonesia, plans to launch accounting standard application for small and medium enterprises. Vice Chairman of Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry in the field of micro, small and medium enterprises, cooperatives and creative economies, Sandiaga Uno, on Tuesday, January 28, 2015, in a public discussion titled SMS Outlook 2016, states that through the app's technology, small and micro, small and medium enterprises have an accounting standard which can be accessed by regulators and businesses.
Pada akhir Januari kemarin, IAI sudah menyurati kami.
At the end of January, Institute of Accountants, IAI, has written to us in the chamber that there will be an innovation because it affects a lot, not only of his financial statement, but also with taxpayer. SMS, which 57 million were only few that has been registered as a taxpayer. We will launch application and technology so in the future small and medium micro entities have had an easier accounting standard. It's very simple and technology-based. Uno added the application standard preparation. The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry will socialize the application by 34 Indonesian chambers in the provincial level. The application will be launched in February. Later, the application will be a platform that can be downloaded via iOS and Google Play. In 2016, sector of micro, small and medium enterprises mass in Indonesia is expected to continue to grow. However, despite supporting the national economy, micro, small and medium Indonesia has not been seen in a major industry trade chain, Professor of the Faculty of Economics, University of Pajajaran, Professor Ina Priamiana. Priamiana, in discussing the SMES Outlook 2016, said that Indonesia required sound policies to enhance the role of micro, small and medium enterprise in Asia, that is reaching currently only 6.3%. So we need policy of SMES. The first is to increase the number of startups, but it is a startup that is qualified, extend the life cycle of SMES, so they grow briefly and then disappear because there is nothing to accompany them, search the market and so forth. Then we need to encourage SMES becoming big business, then how to expand market access, then policies linked with big business. Ina Fuder predicts that by 2016, small micro businesses in the services sector will continue to grow, so part of the various challenges and problems still faced by micro, small, medium-sized businesses, such as limitation managerial knowledge, weak competitiveness, limited response to international consumer, and inconsistencies of quality. Ina explained the current number of micro, small, and medium-sized businesses in Indonesia, reaching about 57 million. Ina expect 10% of the amount can be developed into a large industry annually. The last item, Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has visited Laos on 27-28 January 2016 as her first visit since sworn as a Minister of Foreign Affairs in last October 2014. During the visit, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has conducted bilateral meetings with Foreign Minister of Laos Thongloung Sisulit and Prime Minister of Laos Thongsing Tamafong. In the bilateral meeting, there were two main issues discussed by two foreign first ministers, namely the bilateral cooperation in trade and investment as well as ASEAN cooperation. That was stated by spokesperson of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, the press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday afternoon. Two main issues were discussed, of course, about bilateral cooperation and ASEAN cooperation. In the bilateral cooperation context, several issues discussed by Medan Foreign Affairs Minister, certainly economic cooperation related to trade and investment. Total of our trade in 2014 about $55 million. Our investment in Laos, there are about $1.7 million. Furthermore, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir said Indonesia's main export commodities to Laos are vehicle, automotive, and ready-to-wear clothes, while the import commodities from Laos to Indonesia are coffee, tea, and others. Besides, according to Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi also discussed cooperation to combat terrorism and radicalism, as well as offering the aerospace products of Indonesia to Laos government, such as planes and 219. Meanwhile, in the maritime field, the two countries cooperate in the development of legal instruments to handle illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing, improving maritime connectivity and the implementation of maritime cooperation in East Asia Summit context, improving the protection of ASEAN country citizens, among others, by continuing the discussion of establishment of legal instrument for the migrant workers' rights protection, improving legal cooperation through the establishment of ASEAN treaty, and the improvement of extradition cooperation. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Europe Not Friendly with Refugees Anymore. Being refugees, especially those coming from Syria, Iraq and Afghanistan, are very heavy because they had been expelled from their hometowns due to war they do not want to, and they are reluctantly accepted by the destination countries. In fact, several European countries that were originally going to accommodate the refugees are rethinking to repatriate them now. This has happened since the tragedy of violence on New Year's Eve in Cologne, Germany, that hit some local girls. The attack was allegedly carried out by people who were considered migrants. German government, through acting of cabinet chancellor Angela Merkel, led by Minister of Justice Heiko Maas and Home Minister Thomas de Maizière, is reviewing the draft legislation that allows the deportation of refugees or asylum seekers who commit crimes. Initially, Angela Merkel, who was firmed on the attitude open hand to the refugees, starts rethinking after there is pressure domestically. With the bill, German government could more easily deport refugees and asylum seekers who commit criminal acts such as violence against the security forces, sexual abuse, and theft. The attack occurring early New Year brought about political impact. A poll shows that support for the Party of Alternative for Germany, that is anti-immigrant, rises 11% to third place. Then Germany tightens migrant laws because many refugees wish to enter the country and choose separate Balkan countries as a recipient country of deportation. Today, it is not only Germany that tightens the door for the entry of immigrants. Scandinavian countries are also no longer generous to refugees. On last Tuesday, 26th of January, Danish Parliament conducted polls that agreed to seize the refugees' assets worth more than $1,400. The Danish government imposed the same rules to its citizens who are unemployed, but the legislation has sparked criticism both domestically and internationally, including from the United Nations Agency for Refugees, UNHCR. Meanwhile, Sweden, according to Swedish Home Minister Anders Kamen, on last Wednesday, January 27, intended to expel 80,000 immigrants who arrived last year and rejected their application. The move was announced when Europe was trying to overcome the crisis after tens of thousands of refugees flooded into Europe through beaches of Greece. Those people who can escape from prolonged conflict in Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan. In Amsterdam on last Monday, Home and Justice Minister of the European Union, EU, made to find solution for refugees crisis. If the European Union cannot immediately find best solution, the unity of European Union would be threatened as well. Austria, Hungary, Bulgaria, and Slovenia had been pressing Greece to further strengthen its borders. Obviously, voters in some European countries like Germany, France, and even the Netherlands tend to support parties that are anti-immigrant. If Europe has closed its doors to refugees and conflict in the Middle East does not also get a permanent settlement, the role of Islamic countries is very important to formulate a solution. The problem is that some Islamic countries, which had been considered to be strong economically, are now in financial crisis due to falling oil prices. Can they still be expected to help overcome this problem? Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of our RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start with an event. The agreement of Iran, Russia, the United Kingdom is signed on January 29, 1942. In the World War II era, the agreement between the three countries, the United Kingdom, Russia, and Iran, signed on January 29, 1942. Russia and Britain invaded Iran 5 months earlier. Under this agreement, the Iranian government at the time, who had taken a neutral stance in the World War II, was forced to leave the transport facility and communications by land, sea, and air to be used by Allied forces against Germany. Instead, as compensation, the United Kingdom and Russia recognized the territory of Iran and promised to leave Iran 6 months after the termination of the World War II. Russian and British occupation not only caused damage and losses in Iran, even after the war, Russia was not willing to leave Iran. Russia also trying to set up a puppet government in northwest Iran. However, the resistance of the Iranian people finally make the Russian troops withdraw from the country. On January 29, 1950, General Sudirman passes away. General Sudirman is one of the Indonesia's most famous national heroes. He was born in Purbalingga, Central Java on January 24, 1916. In 1944, he joined the State Defense Army, or PETA, sponsored by Japan, and served as a battalion commander in Banyumas. After Indonesia's independence, in a battle with Japanese troops, he managed to grab the weapon of Japanese forces in Banyumas. After the People's Security Army, TKR, was formed, he was later appointed as commander of Division 5 in Banyumas with the title of colonel. And through the People's Security Army Conference on November 1945, he was elected as commander of TKR, commander of the Armed Forces of the Republic of Indonesia. On December 10, 1964, he was designated as a national hero of Indonesia. To commemorate his services, his name was dedicated as the name of the streets, universities, museums, and monuments. We conclude on January 29, 2001, thousands of student demonstrants besieged the MPR-DPR building asking President Abdurrahman Wahid to resign on allegation of corruption scandal. Thousands of students of Java and Sumatra conducted action to the parliament building by demanding President Abdurrahman Wahid, or Gus Dur, resigned for alleged corruption scandal. Thousands of students came from University of Gajah Mada, Yogyakarta, UNSRI Sriwijaya Palembang, ITB from Bandung, and IPB Bogor. The demonstrants considered that the Abdurrahman Wahid government has betrayed the mandate of the reform by not running the national reform agendas consistently. The president also considered has no commitment to uphold the rule of law. It is proven the absence of judicial resolve cases of corruption, collusion, and nepotism committed by Suharto and his cronies. Students also assessed president also involved in the case of Bulog funds and the case of donations of the Sultan of Brunei Darussalam. Listener, that was today's segment of Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Welcome to Focus. Today we'll talk about the plan of government's policy to overcome food price volatility. Entering the first month of 2016, food prices continue to increase. Though the government has issued a number of economic policy that aims to keep economic growth and price stability. Related to these price fluctuations, Wednesday, January 27th, President Joko Widodo held a cabinet meeting to address price volatility that lately strengthened. In the meeting, President Joko Widodo said that rising food prices have to watch out because in the last 4 years has jumped to 70%. The head of state also reminded to the president the food prices in Indonesia is still relatively high compared to some other Asian countries. President Joko Widodo confirms the policy in the field of food is to make people wealthy and reduce poverty rate. Because the food problem is a major contribution toward poverty rate, which is around 73%. Therefore, various measures should be implemented precisely in order to reduce the price of food such as rice, beef, chicken, onions, and papers. Comprehensive measures will improve the demand, supply, trade chain, data system, and agricultural information should be really valid, President asserted. After the cabinet meeting, Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said, to address the volatility in food prices, the government will evaluate the existing mechanisms such as taxation. Additionally, Pramono Anung said the government would take a policy to cut the chain of food sales, making it cheaper and stable in the society. Meanwhile, Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Danmin Nasution, said the government continues to undertake a number of efforts to control, but without lowering the income of farmers. Therefore, according to Danmin Nasution, the role of logistic agency company should also be extended so that the distribution of food to various regions can be more efficient and does not cause price hikes. Indonesian Trade Minister Thomas Lembong asserted, rising of food prices, especially meat, not just the responsibility of the Ministry of Trade and Ministry of Agriculture, but the entire economic team of President Joko Widodo, because it has a variety of effects. According to him, the impact of food price volatility is also felt by the team of the Coordinating Ministry for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, because the impact on the social and security. On the other hand, the Trade Minister Thomas Lembong mentioned the Ministry of Justice has set up a presidential decree that can sharpen and clarify the regulation of food stock management. In addition, it has also prepared the presidential decree about logistics agency, which will be widened to 11 strategic commodities other than rice, including corn and soybeans. Meanwhile, the chief executive of the National Horticulture Board, Benny Kusbini, said, ideally, the government will take the initiative and leading in the developing fruits plantation area and large-scale farms nationwide. It allows Indonesia to stem agricultural products and plantation import. Listener, that was today's focus.
Listener, here are some headlines of newspaper published in Jakarta today on Friday, January 29, 2016. While we begin from Kompas newspaper, in its headline, Kompas writes, narcotics and drugs are more threatening. The network narcotics and drugs involving foreigners and entering into Indonesia is increasingly widespread. This is evidenced by the involvement of Pakistani nationals who smuggle 100 kilograms of methamphetamine. This condition is a serious threat that needs to be firmed to eradicate. Head of the National Narcotics Agency, BNN, Commissioner General Budi Waseso said on Tuesday that the syndicate of Pakistan has been under surveillance since 6 months ago. Even the Pakistani network has been allegedly in operation since 2013. It operates in Jakarta, Semarang until East Java. The smuggling is conducted by inserting methamphetamine, or locally called sabu, into the engine generator sets imported directly from Guangzhou, China. The sabu inside the machine was found in the furniture in the village of Pekalongan, district Batelit, Jepara, Central Java, on last Wednesday. Each engine contained 1.5 until 2 kilograms of methamphetamine wrapped in a plastic and coated with carbon. Until now, the BNN has just opened 94 machines with a total about 100 kilograms of sabu. While we continue with Sindo newspaper, in its headline, Sindo writes, the evidence of Mirna's case is strongly obvious. Indonesian police are asked not to take long time to reveal Wayan Mirna Salihin's death, 27 years old. The evidence possessed by the police investigators is considered to be strong enough to determine a suspect in the case of Kapi mixed with the cyanide. To complete the filing, Metro Jaya police investigator asked again the expert witness testimony, in this case, a psychologist from University of Indonesia, Sarlito Wiraman Sarwono, was invited to give testimony. After testifying, Sarlito remarked that the evidence possessed by the investigator is strong enough to announce who the suspect behind the killing of Mira. Although the analyzed evidence is not complete, Sarlito hinted that such a device can be included in the case file to be submitted to the prosecutor. If submitted to the court, he believes that the evidence from the investigators is strong to catch the suspect. Well, listener, we come to an end with the Tempo newspaper. In its headline, Tempo writes, the agreement of fast train project failed to be signed. Indonesia Minister of Transportation has not issued a permit operation of public railway infrastructure to PT Kereta Cepat Indonesia China, KCIC. The permission is hampered because the agreement of the implementation of infrastructure project between the Minister of Transportation and KCIC failed to be signed. Director General of Railway Herman Dwiatmoko said the Transportation Ministry has drawn up a 5-point agreement that must be agreed by KCIC. Unfortunately, there are some points that have not been approved by the company. They are: first, the ministry wants each failure of the construction operation is the responsibility of investor and is not funded by the government. Second, there is no exclusive rights. Herman remarked that KCIC wants to get exclusive right to the absence of the other train lines parallel to the last, associated to the fast train lines Jakarta-Bandung. But based on the rules, private companies are not entitled to that right. Third is the difference of concession period. Hermanto added that the Minister of Transport wants maximum concession period of 50 years. Afterwards, the company must submit to the state in an appropriate condition, free of debt and not become collateral to other parties. Listener, those were some headlines of national newspapers published today on Friday 29 of January 2016. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla has asked the Chinese Embassy in Indonesia to review the cost of high-speed train project between Jakarta and Bandung after reports surfaced that the project is expected to cost much higher than a similar project in Iran. Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, in collaboration with Indonesian Institute of Accountants and Banking Indonesia, plans to launch accounting standard application for small and medium enterprises. In 2016, the sector of micro, small and medium enterprise mass in Indonesia is expected to continue to grow. However, despite supporting the national economy, micro, small and medium Indonesia has not been seen in a major industry trade change. Indonesia Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has visited Laos on 27-28 January 2016 as her first visit since sworn in as a Minister of Foreign Affairs in last October 2014. During the visit, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has conducted bilateral meetings with Foreign Minister of Laos Tung Lung Susulit and Prime Minister of Laos Tong Sing Tamafong. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit East Java to look more closely the Temenggungan Village Festival. Stay tuned. Listener, on January 16th to January 17th recently, an interesting festival entitled Temenggungan Village Festival was held. The festival that took place in the Temenggungan Village, Banyuwangi Regency, East Java Province, was held to raise the potential of cultural art, crafts, culinary, and historical Temenggungan communities. The festival is in the form of activities such as traditional music, contemporary music, the world music, artistic performances, culinary market, photo exhibition, paintings, and batik. A variety of interesting activities certainly has attracted many visitors who attended at the festival. In addition to lifting the local potential, the festival also turned out to be held to declare the Temenggungan Tourism Village to the international world. Listener, Temenggungan is a village located in Banyuwangi Sub-District, Banyuwangi Regency, East Java Province. In here, a tourist village with a superb local potential located. Temenggungan Village was once a village that firstly built when the Blambangan administration was moved from Ulu Pampang. Muncar to Tirtaganda Forest Area, which is currently come into Banyuwangi in the era of the Regent Mas Alit in 1774. Banyuwangi Regency Hall was once the Blambangan Regent Palace, and Temenggungan Village is the supporting area as a place for living of the government officials or housekeepers of district hall. Therefore, in the Temenggungan Village, there are still many ancient houses and relics of the colonial era, including the house of the 5th Regent Raden Temenggung Pringgo Kusumo. In addition to its appeal in the form of the relic of historical buildings, Temenggungan Tourism Village also has other charms. This area is also known as a hometown of some outstanding artists. Previously, the place inhabited by many talented traditional artists. Until now, the soul of art is still preserved and passed down to the next generation. In Temenggung Village, children, adults, and old people cultivate and maintain their traditional cultural art. From the region, there were also born a mainstay Banyuwangi composer, such as Arif or Catur Arum, the singer whose songs are very popular in that region. Listeners, since the 1950s era, Temenggungan Village, also known as the center of batik industry in Banyuwangi, with its characteristic of gajah uling. Until now, Temenggungan still recognized as one of the batik village in Banyuwangi. With its unique local potential and abundant, Temenggung governments continue to cultivate and develop their local potential. Once every 2 weeks in the Temenggungan Village, it is held Sunday morning market, featuring a variety of culinary and young talents performances in the field of art and traditional music. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. with the topic Temenggungan Village. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, boy listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany with me, Nuka. Today, we present you the history of lipstick. Makeup is used to beautify people. For women, makeup is a must. However, makeup without lipstick is incomplete. Therefore, lipstick is needed. Just like the other things in this world, there's no one that can be said the first to invent or create lipstick. To explore the origin of lipstick, we go back in time to 5,000 years ago, when Mesopotamian women have put lipstick on their lips. They use semi-precious metal to adorn their lips and eyes. Lipstick is one of most provoking cosmetics. This lipstick can build the feminities and sensualities of the users. Lipstick has a long history since prehistoric era. Lipsticks not only plays role in beauty, but also as a controversial symbol. The history of lipstick began from Queen Shubat from Ur, a city in Sumeria, one of four Mesopotamian civilizations. Queen of Sumer used lipsticks with white tin and red stones as the main material. People in Sumer welcomed the habit excitedly. British archaeologist Sir Leonard Woolley revealed that Ur nation was buried with their lipstick kept in she cells in the cemetery of Ur kingdom. This lipstick culture was brought to Egyptian kingdom, which was developing. At that time, social status was put forward more than gender. Before the 16th century, lipstick was mostly used by women. Queen Elizabeth I created and popularized black-colored lips. Lipstick in the era of Elizabeth was made of simple bee candle and plant with low red color. In 1884, the first modern lipstick was introduced in Paris. In Indonesia, women started using lipstick since colonial era. Previously, Indonesian women used pinang or areca nut fruit to color their lips. Historian noted that lipstick is the first cosmetic produced in about 1884. Paris Perfume has sold lip cosmetics for their customers. In the end of 1890s, Sears Roebuck catalog started advertising and selling blush on. At that time also, lipstick was made of deer fat, for the jarak oil and bee candle. The lipstick was not packed in a tube like now, but with silk paper put in a colored paper tube or small pot. Well, listener, that ends today's miscellany on the history of lipstick. I'm Nuga Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with Minuka in our regular segment Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern. You can listen to the program through shortwave frequencies at 95-5 kHz and also through streaming at voi.co.id or english.rriworldservice.com. Today's edition will present you an Indonesian dangdut duo, Rizky Ridho. To begin our program, here is a song by Rizky Ridho entitled Cantik or Beautiful. Happy listening!
Memang banyak hal yang kita alami di Dangdut Academy 2.
Apalagi perasaan yang kami rasakan selama di asrama,
perasaan rindu dan kangen pun semakin terasa kepada kedua orang tua.
Meskipun begitu, perasaan itu menjadikan semangat bagi kami
agar kami bisa membahagiakan mereka.
Rizky Ridho Medan. Mana suara pendukungnya Rizky Ridho?
Wih, Rizky Ridho pipinya makin cabi ya. Aduh. Suaranya mana BG-ABG?
Let's go, sini. Sini, sana.
Ayo, sini.
Temuin fans-fans kamu. Kalian yang di rumah, kalau pas Rizky Ridho di close up boleh difoto. Ayo iya. Kirimkan tweet-nya juga.
Sini. Tuh. Mana suaranya?
Udah banyak yang kangen.
Ya ampun. Nih, ada fansnya Rizky Ridho nih, paling tua nih. Oke. Okay. Udah mau foto-foto? Pakai Irfan Hakim atau enggak? Udah ya.
Tingginya sih sama.
Oke, ayo balik lagi. Ayo.
Listener in a dangdut search talent, the Academy Second, on a private television station, which is so popular now, has produced a new star. Although they did not reach top 5, their popularity is rising. They are Rizky Ridho, who become a new idol for teens. Rizky Ridho have been highlighted since the beginning of DA Second or the Academy Second. The dangdut duo can attract dangdut lovers, especially teenagers and women. Although their voice is not as amazing as other contestants, their young age and good look grab the audience's heart. Well, listener, now let's enjoy a song by Rizky Ridho called Boleh Saja.
Cintai dunia, suatu saat kau kan meninggalkannya. Sekarang atau lusa, lama ataupun muda, yang pasti kau akan mati juga.
Listener, their choice to be engaged in dangdut genre is praise because Rizky Ridho can make teenagers love dangdut. This is what made them go through top 10 in D Academy 2nd. Rizky Ridho are twins from Medan, North Sumatra. Rizky was born first, then Ridho was born 5 minutes later. So Rizky is Ridho's brother. Rizky Ridho was born in Medan Deras, February 3, 1997. In their young age, Rizky Ridho has got many jobs both on televisions and off-air. But they do not forget their main activity, which is studying. Well, listener, to end our program for today, here are two dangdut songs by Rizky Ridho entitled Kembalilah Padaku and Selimut Tetangga. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Enjoy the songs and I'll see you again in another edition of Music Corner.
Apa adanya, ku menyayangimu setulus hatiku. Inikah janji yang kita ucapkan dulu? Jangan kau nodai cintaku. Pedulikan aku, inikah janji-janjimu membuat sakit hatiku. Ku mohon sayang, ku tak ingin kau pergi.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service,
Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.